Well, good morning, church.
Good morning.
My name is Mark, and I'm a pastor here at McCabe also. We gather this morning. We gather in the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. This Spirit is moving and stirring in amongst us this morning. This morning, we're concluding our short series exploring the prodigal son. Last week, Pastor Jenny talked about the younger brother. Today we're thinking about things from the older brother's perspective. Well, friends, you may have seen the news this week. The United Methodist Church has actually been in the news a fair amount, hasn't it? We're getting questions locally, too. After the 11 o'clock service at 12:15 today, we'll have a town hall meeting just to share what we know. Everyone is welcome. If you're connected with our McCabe Facebook page, or if you get my weekly email, you've received this note from me on Wednesday. Brothers and sisters in Christ, as the General Conference of the United Methodist Church, it's made up of delegates from around the world. As it concluded its work yesterday, please know that I continue to try to faithfully live into the mantra I've been using for over a year now. Come as you are. Pastor Jenny and I believe in this statement. While we are far from perfect, we value the rich diversity found throughout the people of McCabe. Part of our prayer is that any and all who interact with McCabe might experience the love of God made known through Jesus Christ. Our mission has been and continues to be to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Any and all are welcome. Friends, come as you are. Together, let's grow in our love of God and our love of neighbor. Together, let's make disciples of Jesus Christ. Together, let's try to live into being the people and the church that God has placed us right here, right now, in the community to be. In Christ's love, Pastor Mark. Let's pray. Well, God, may my words, may the words of my mouth, may the meditations on each of our hearts this morning, may they be acceptable in your sight. Because you are our ultimate rock. You're the only one who can really redeem us. Amen. Well, some of you might know that I'm a child of McCabe. I was actually baptized and actually confirmed right here in this sanctuary. I can point to the spot down there. Not many of you may know that I, for the most part, left the church altogether for about 10 years. And there were times I probably looked a little too much like the prodigal in today's scripture. I returned to the church because somebody invited and welcomed me, even in the midst of my brokenness and imperfections. I think it's one of the reasons I draw such strength and hope reading about the heroes of the Bible. The heroes of the Bible were pretty ordinary, often pretty broken men and women. Yet in the face of adversity, they stayed faithful. They had the courage and the perseverance to keep the faith, even when life was challenging, and God used them to change the world. For me, that's hopeful. Think about King David and his foibles and his escapades. He repeatedly strayed from God, and he repeatedly turned back to God, humble, seeking to be faithful. Think about the Apostle Paul. He was actually persecuting Christians to their death. And then God, driving him to his knees, changing his heart to bring the good news of Jesus to the corners of the earth. There's Matthew and Mary and Rahab and Peter, and the list goes on and on. Jesus, he gathered up this bunch of ragtag fishermen and tax collectors and prostitutes and other sinners. And together they brought hope and healing. Together they changed the world. It's not directly stated like this in the Bible, but an overwhelming message of Jesus was, come as you are. Come as you are, but don't expect to stay as you are. Come as you are, whether you're a conservative or a liberal, whether you're a centrist or anxious or scared or depressed or jealous or prideful or wounded. Come as you are and discover the true hope and healing. Come as you are and meet the living Christ. I think about today's scripture. Sometimes we call it the prodigal son. Pastor Jenny unpacked some of it last week. The younger brother, the prodigal son, taking everything he could get and then squandering it. Spending money and resources freely and recklessly and wastefully. And when the prodigal son hit rock bottom, when he came back humbled and repenting, he wasn't seeking status or favors. He came back wanting to serve his father. He came back knowing he hadn't earned his father's love. He didn't deserve it. He was just seeking to be part of the servant crew. And yet his father killed the fatted calf to celebrate his son's new life. It's in a reading from Luke chapter 15. We'll begin with verses 20 through 24.
So he, the prodigal son, returned home to his father. And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, kissed him. His father said to him, or his son said to him, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I'm no longer worthy of being called your son. But his father said to the servants, Quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet, and kill the calf we've been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast. For this son of mine was dead and now has returned to life. He was lost, but now he is found. And so the party began.
The father, seeing his wayward son, he was filled with love and compassion. Last week I was struck when Pastor Jenny described the father as having some prodigal tendencies too. The father, a prodigal. The father, a prodigal with his love, he freely and extravagantly poured out his love. And some people, including even his older son, they saw his actions as extravagant and wasteful. The father, filled with love and compassion, the older brother resenting it, appalled at his father's reckless love.
Meanwhile, the older son was in the field working. When he returned home, he heard music and dancing in the house. And he asked one of the servants, What was going on? Your brother is back, he was told. And your father has killed the fattened calf. We are celebrating because of his return. The older brother was angry and wouldn't go in. His father came out and begged him, but he replied, All these years I've slaved for you and never once refused to do a single thing you told me to. And in all that time, you never gave me even one young goat for a feast with my friends. Yet, when this son of yours comes back, after squandering your money on prostitutes, you celebrate by killing the fattened calf.
So can you hear that, brother? Are you nuts? I've slaved for you. I've never refused you. You haven't given me and my friends anything. And then this squandering slacker of a son comes home, and you kill the fattened calf. He was having a temper tantrum. Sometimes it's called Schadenfreude. It's German, Schaden, harm, and Freud, joy. Schadenfreude, harm, joy, deriving pleasure from someone else's misfortunes. So let's say we're driving along a road and a person comes barreling up behind you. They're swerving through traffic, they whip by you and they cut you off and you just miss causing a major accident. Sometimes I have to find myself needing to push back against Schadenfreude when that happens. Sometimes my first thought in a situation like that isn't, oh no, I hope everything's okay. I hope this isn't an emergency for him. If I'm honest, sometimes my blood pressure takes a little leap. Right? I find myself thinking, I hope there might be a trooper around that bridge right up ahead. Maybe he's got the radar garden ready. Ready with the ticket book. Schadenfreude. Not wanting the lost son to get a party. Not wanting the lost son to be warmly welcomed when he comes home. Even if he returns humbly.
His father said to him, "Look, dear son, you have always stayed by me, and everything I have is yours. We had to celebrate this happy day, for your brother was dead, and he has come back to life. He was lost, but now he is found."
So we think about the prodigal son being lost and then found. We can see how the father might be lost when his young son basically said to him, "You're dead, man. Give me my inheritance." And then he goes off and he squanders everything he had. But what about the older brother? Even though he never left home, even though he always did what he was supposed to do, is it fair to maybe consider that the older brother was lost too? The older brother may be lost in his anger, maybe lost in his selfishness and his jealousy. The older brother may be lost in his sense of duty and in his sense of judgment. The older brother may be lost in his need for things to be fair, at least in his own mind. I don't know about you, but that can start to hit pretty close to home. We can argue that the older brother, he was emotionally and spiritually lost. We see the older brother, and maybe it's a caution. Maybe it's a caution that we're going to run into trouble if we demand fairness and equality from God. After all, God can pour out his love any way he wants. And Scripture reminds us that God is generous and extravagant with us, even if I might judge it as wasteful. From the outside looking in, there are times God's gracious, God's generous, God's loving goodness feels a little unfair to me. Maybe even a little naive or wasteful. It's not fair that everybody has access to as much as they want. I might not think it's fair anyway. And yet, I don't know about you, but I thank God for his extravagant, reckless love every day. The Father was filled with love and compassion. What does that even mean? God, through the Apostle Paul, he laid it out for us. You've heard the words many times. Love is patient and kind. Love isn't jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It doesn't demand its own way. Love isn't irritable. It doesn't keep a record of wrongs. It doesn't rejoice at injustice. Love never gives up. Love never loses faith. Love is always hopeful, and it endures. The Father offered a gracious, generous invitation to both brothers. And yet the older brother didn't want to accept it. And the older brother didn't want his prodigal brother to have it either. Friends, this isn't about winning and losing. This is about the condition of our hearts. This is about our hearts that can get crusty and begin to get hard. This is about breaking through our hardened hearts. Again, it doesn't matter if we're liberal or conservative or whatever we might call ourselves. This is about breaking through our hardened hearts and loving people into the kingdom. Friends, each and every one of us has received the invitation. It doesn't matter if we identify with the prodigal or with the brother or with the father. Our Heavenly Father, filled with love and compassion for you and me, our Heavenly Father offers us the invitation to live and the invitation to life. So then it's up to us. Will we accept the invitation? Will we come to the party? Will we come as we are, not expecting to stay as we are, but will we come as we are to be instruments of hope and healing? Will we come as we are to receive hope and healing? May a softening of our hearts take place wherever it might be needed. May the people that we come into contact with, may they experience the living Christ through us. Let's pray. Well, God, our true encouragement is in belonging to Jesus. Our comfort is in his reckless love for us. We fellowship together in the Spirit. May our hearts be tender and compassionate. May we grow in contentment. May we grow in love for one another. May we grow in working together with one mind, one purpose. God, living our faith isn't about impressing others. And so may our focus not be about our own self-interests. May our focus take a serious interest in others. God, let us grow into having the same mind as that of Christ Jesus. We thank you for the invitation and the celebration. And may we have the wisdom and the courage to invite and accept the invitation with gratitude. And we pray all of this and so much more in the precious name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Jesus gave himself up for us. He was gathered around the table with a bunch of people that he said, you know, you guys aren't perfect. But just come. Come and follow. Come as you are. And during that meal, he stood up and he took the bread and he blessed it. He gave thanks to God and he broke the bread. And he gave it to the disciples saying, you know, this is my body and it's broken for you. Take it and eat it. And as you do so, remember me. And then when the supper was over, Jesus, he took the cup. He blessed it. And he gave it to the disciples saying, drink from this, each of you. This is my blood of the new covenant. It's poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. As often as you drink it, remember me. And so let's pray. And so, God, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving. We offer ourselves as holy and living sacrifices. We come offering ourselves in union with Christ's offering for us. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and the blood of Christ, that we might be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen.